response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Hey, it's C-Sparky, 5 or 12:50 a.m. The Fan, 55 past the hour, time for another Milwaukee Sports Timeout, live from the Wendy's Studios. It's strawberry frosty season, baby, and that means you can get sweet strawberry goodness on those hot summer days when you don't want to leave the house. Go on, treat yourself, even if it means canceling plans. Trust us, it's worth it. Just like a summer fling, this treat is leaving after summer ends. There's no excuse not to treat yourself to this sweet strawberry frosty while they're here. Limited time only at participating Wendy's, and it is Wednesday, which means we get to catch up with our guy, Tim Dillard, over at Bally Sports Wisconsin, Brewers analyst for them. Follow him on Twitter at Dim Tillard and talk about the last week that was, including the latest edition of Brewers Unfiltered with Tim Dillard, Sophia Minard, and Adam McKelvey. Download that on your Odyssey app or over at brewers.com. Tim is brought to you each and every week by Fourth Base Restaurant. You go in, it feels like quarter sports bar, and was featured in Major League. Then you have the food, and you're like, oh my God, this is some of the best food we're going to find in Milwaukee. Exquisite food at Fourth Base Restaurant. Tim, let's start off talking about Brewers Unfiltered. What's on this week's edition?
Ooh, it's actually a really good one. So if you haven't listened, people get out and listen to this thing. We actually got Willy Adames on and just talked a little bit about, his life and what he does with the Brewers. And it's very sincere. It's very quick. It's only about 15 to 20 minutes, but it's really good. You don't get to hear him give a lot of interviews. So this was pretty exciting for me and Sophia.
I want to talk about something I came across on Twitter, and I saved it mainly to talk to you about. And that is, coming into the season, I think we all thought that the Brewers' defense would probably be better. And I saw this tweet come across from Sports Info Solutions. MLB team leaders in defensive runs saved entering the month of May. Number one in all of Major League Baseball, your Milwaukee Brewers. Talk about the difference between this year and what we had last year.
Well, I think they're covering more ground. I think guys are healthy. I think Brian Anderson coming in has been huge. Joey Weimer roaming the outfield. My goodness, if you haven't seen this guy play, you've got to watch him play. He is all over the place. He's just let loose and just covers the entire outfield almost. And we're just seeing across the board everyone doing very well. Bryce Turang, my goodness. I know he didn't play much in the last series due to all the lefties throwing, but I don't know how you can keep him out of the lineup and keep him off that second base area. He's just that good. So I think the difference is you just have exceptional, better defense by the young guys coming up. And again, our catchers as well. William Contreras has been doing a great job. So all around, I mean, it's just very solid. Just kind of different than we've seen in the past, where it's just, we kind of got guys just filling in. Maybe guys that don't usually play that position is suddenly playing that position. So what you're seeing is natural guys playing their natural positions.
Last year, the Brewers catcher position was among the worst in baseball. This year, among the best in baseball between Contreras and Caratini. And Contreras' defense has improved. His pitch framing has improved. It feels like that lower strike is getting called more now by umpires than ever before, with that catcher bringing that ball back up into the zone.
Yeah, very strange that the umpires keep falling for this. It looks crazy when you're watching it, but for whatever reason, that's kind of what is happening across the board. You're watching a lot of catchers on other teams try to do that as well. But yeah, the Brewers are kind of doing it better than anybody else, and the offense is there for the catchers. They got the best offensive numbers. I think the best average, maybe second in on-base percentage, things like that. That's, you're getting not only the defense, but also the offensive side from two really good catchers that, handle this type of pitching staff very well.
You talk about this Brewers team. Now they get ready to head out for a West Coast trip, starting with the Colorado Rockies. From a player perspective, how hard are these West Coast trips from players that are coming from the Central time zone or probably even the East Coast?
Yeah, well, I'm out here right now, and I wasn't expecting your call because my time's off.
Right. Yeah.
So I was like, what? It takes some getting used to. But for the most part, I would say the hardest part about flying out here is just playing in the Rockies, right? Like the elevation is tough to kind of get over. For young guys not playing out here before, they're going to see the ball not move as much. You know, the humidity, that when you would hit a ball down the line and it would slice foul, well, now you're going to see that sucker stay fair. And as pitchers, you're going to have to deal with the fact that it's just more hits. It's just really hard to get around this type of environment. So, you know, it's not so much the West Coast and the time frame, you know, or time zone. It's more of where you're going to play and how to counteract that. Because I think the Brewers even sent out a thing to some of the employees, like, hey, if you're not used to, you know, traveling to the Rockies, like, here's some tips on how to beat the elevation.
Oh, really?
Yeah, special little notes, because this is a very difficult place to navigate.
Yeah, no doubt. And as a pitcher, I mean, they've done everything in their power, right? They got a humidor out there for baseballs and everything else to try and deaden that ball so they don't give up as many home runs. Because back in the day when that thing was first built, you know, it was home run derby. And guys like Mike Hampton would sign mega deals, go there, and then fall on their face, I remember, because there was just no getting around it. Has it changed at all over the course of time?
I think so. I think everybody has the you know humidor now. I think that's 30 teams across the board. I think that was put in place. But yes, the Rockies had the first. It was necessary. I was just saying the other day to somebody, I was like, I think I pitched like 7 scoreless innings when I first got to the big leagues in 2008, and then the first runs I gave up were here at Coors Field.
Yeah,
on a ball that it was hit, and I was just kind of like, oh, that may be a hit. And it was just like a scud missile double in the gap. But off the bat, you know, you just thought, maybe that's caught. So the ball does fly. It's still going to fly. There's really no way around that. Otherwise, to me, it's you have your arsenal of pitches, and you're trying to throw them, and you're trying to make them work, and they're not all going to work. We've seen this in the past. Woodruff and Burns especially have been out here, and something doesn't work. They bag it and go with what works. So you have a game plan till you get out there and you figure out, okay, well, this isn't working for us. We got to switch on the fly. So being able to kind of navigate that part of it is what's really going to help these starters.
Well, you talk about the Brewers as of right now, game and a half out of first as we record this on Tuesday afternoon. Behind the Pittsburgh Pirates, Tim Dillard, 3 games ahead of the Cubs, and then the Reds 8 back, the Cardinals 10 back. You want to talk about surprises in baseball? I would have to think this division is probably one of the bigger surprises, with the Pirates leading it and the Cardinals in dead last.
Yeah, that's the storyline going across the board, really. But I said it last year. I thought the Pirates team was good. I mean, I thought they had good defense. I mean, above average defense. I thought there were, you know, hitters were doing well. There's all the question marks about Brian Reynolds, if they were going to sign him long term. The biggest thing was just the pitching, and they are phenomenal. They lead all of baseball in quality starts. So this isn't just cheap stuff. That they're not just sneaking wins, right? Like, they're really actually pitching deep into ball games. And you know, because of the hot start, they end up signing Brian Reynolds. So they're putting together a pretty good little team here. And, you know, we talk about this on the podcast, and you'll get to see everyone's reaction on do we think they're legit or not. But I tell you, the biggest, even bigger than that, is the Cardinals being in the cellar right now. Nobody thought they would be that far back, especially going in with all the predictions.
And again, they haven't had Adam Wainwright yet. He's on a rehab assignment. Jack Flaherty, who's been hurt the last couple of years, he isn't off to the best of starts either. And those are the two guys that you probably look at more than anything to be leaders in that rotation. And Mikolas, he hasn't pitched well either.
Yeah, they're just misfiring, stepping on Legos everywhere they go. You almost wonder if Molina's going to be like, all right, enough of this. I'm coming out of retirement.
I'm going to come help this pitching staff. And again, you know, I mean, you say it jokingly, but I mean, you talk about Yadi Molina. Everybody praised Yadi Molina around baseball. Now, as Brewer fans, you know, probably couldn't stand Yadi Molina and Albert Pujols because we hate the Cardinals. But Yadi Molina, not only with his bat, but working with the pitching staff was something special, I think.
I mean, he was basically the pitching coach at times, right? Like, that's just – and when you trust the guy that's been around – like the other day, I just watched Bull Durham, you know.
Great movie.
And the idea of Crash Davis back there, and he's calling a phenomenal game, and then here's Newt – Lelouch going, no, I'm not going to give him that. I'm going to shake him off. And it's like, you know, you believe it? This guy's shaking me off, and I got him, you know, a no-hitter or shutout going. Like, that's the idea. No one, who's going to shake him off, right? He has so much built-up intuition and experience That's what Molina brought. If you're a pitcher, you're like, I mean, who else would you want to pitch to? This guy is just built for helping you. So, yeah, now they're missing that big chunk, and I think they're finding out just how big a role he was playing on that team.
No doubt. I want to wrap this up with another tweet that I saved just for you, Tim Dillard, from Jesse Rogers from ESPN Baseball, covers baseball. Game time, since the new rules impact, 2 hours and 36 minutes. That's the fastest average game time since 1984. Stolen bases, 602 across baseball, most ever before the month of May in baseball. Batting average, 247, up from 231 last March and April. Batting average with balls in play, 298, the highest prior to May since 2009. I know that you're not the biggest fan of these rules necessarily at the end of the day. Do you think this is all sustainable with the numbers we're talking about?
I think so. I like the shift stuff. I like the bigger bases. That's going to lead to more action. I love the stolen base part of it. I like that you can hit a ball and get a single. You know, but as a pitcher, hey, I have a chance to get a ground ball and get a double play. And, you know, I think the pitch clock is the biggest controversy, if there is any. It makes things really speed up. I know everyone loves that the game is so fast, but at the same time, you're seeing pitchers struggle that maybe haven't struggled in several years. And maybe you're seeing teams that are maybe like the Pirates that are benefiting from these type of rules more so than the Cardinals, per se. So, you know, is it benefits and risks and rewards? Like, yeah. But at the same time, I still think they can tweak the clock a little bit. Or maybe at All-Star break, say, we'll do away with the clock. But if you guys get long, we'll come back. I don't know. But the rules are making baseball exciting. They really are. I mean, to me, the limiting of the shift has been the key.
Yeah.
Because that just opens up a whirlwind of action-packed Van Damme, Bruce Willis, you know, more to watch.
And you talk about that pitch clock, and then you have incidents like what happened with Willie Adames and Craig Counsell in the last week, where Adames gets kicked out, what, for the first time in his career or something like that? Hasn't been kicked out much. And then Craig Counsell ends up getting kicked out in that same game. And it's all because of that pitch clock. And I think miscommunication or misunderstanding of what actually was going on with Willie Adames.
Well, I think that's just a lack of feel on the umpire. Like they're so to the letter because they can just err on the side of, well, this is the rule. And what they're like, guys go out there and they get a standing ovation or something. And then they step out of the box and tip their helmet and then boom, they're given a strike.
Yep.
You know, like they're not reading the room for what's going on. And so Willie gets in the box, he looks up, pitcher starts going, and he thought it was probably too quick. You know, and tries to call time. Umpire doesn't give it to him. The ball's high. It's a ball anyway, but he calls it a strike. And then Willie's like, okay, several things here. He went really quick. I tried to call time, and that was a ball. And then the umpire's like, what's that? I can't hear you. You need to get in the box. Oh, here's another, you know, strike. So all of a sudden, Willie, one of the best hitters on the team, suddenly is down two strikes, and he hasn't done anything. And that's, you know, Craig Counsell. Everyone should be upset about that. So Craig Counsell defending his star shortstops like this umpire, what are you doing? This can't happen. And the umpire's like, well, I'll just toss everybody. So an even keel Willie Adames, yeah, who never gets worked up like this,
right,
is suddenly irate because it's like, man, this could be a game changing player. He knows it. This could be a big moment. And, you know, it didn't play into the Brewers' hand at all. So these little things are going to keep happening until they can just figure out a little bit of feel from those umpires, because for them, they're not showing it.
See, the crazy part about it is this could be a World Series game where something like this happens, or a playoff game, or a game that decides whether or not a team goes to the postseason. You could have an incident like this that could cost a team a chance to go to the postseason or advance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to think that won't happen is negligent because we're seeing it day in and day out. We don't even get a chance to see all these violations. I think 70% of the pitch clock violations have been on the pitcher, they say. But when it happens to a hitter and the guy, you know, goes to get in the box and they're like, no, you already struck out. Like, that right there is just devastating. It's like when you're a pitcher and you give up a ground ball and you think it's right at somebody for a double play and you turn and the guy shifted into the outfield and there's no one around. And it turns into a single and a run scores and you're like, where's my double play? You know, it's just a gut punch. And that's what these clocks, when they go wrong, Like, it's just a gut punch in a very serious moment. So, yeah, this is going to happen. Of course, if they don't change it, it's going to happen in the playoffs. It's going to happen in the World Series.
He is Tim Diller. Check him out, Bally Sports Wisconsin, as the Brewers are on their West Coast trip. It starts with the Colorado Rockies. He joins us for his weekly appearance. Follow him on Twitter at Dim Tiller. And, of course, brought to you by the iconic 4th Base Sports Bar. Just a hop, skip, and a jump away from American Family Field. And you go in, you sit down, you look around like, ah, just another corner bar. And then you realize just how special the food is there, and you realize it's one of the better restaurants you're going to come across in the Milwaukee area, Tim.
Yeah, I was at 4th Base the other day. They kept it open even longer. I was the last one to leave.
Look at you, man.
Just an exceptional place. I even tweeted about it. People want to come hang out. A lot of people tweeted back and were like, weren't serious, didn't think you were really showing up. But I'm there all the time. It's easy to get. It's got so much history. And just talk to the people that love working there.
Yep.
Hearing from CJ, the owner, it's a really cool spot. You'll find me there probably more often than not.
It's awesome. It's a great place. Tim, thank you so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Sparky. Thank you.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.